This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. It is our pleasure to have Daryl Allison with us on the program. Daryl is president of Parents for Educational Freedom in North Carolina, or PEFNC, where he leads strategic efforts to redefine the meaning of public education in our state. Daryl is with us to talk about North Carolina's Opportunity Scholarships Program, an education scholarship program enacted by the General Assembly in July 2013 that is aimed at empowering parents in lower-income families to have more options regarding where their children go to school. The program is currently being challenged in federal court by the North Carolina Association of Educators and the North Carolina Justice Center, and we will be talking about that lawsuit and the constitutionality of school choice programs such as North Carolina's. Daryl, it's great to have you with us on the program.
John, absolute pleasure to be with you.
Well, Daryl, tell us about the Opportunity Scholarship Program and how it expands parental choice in education in North Carolina.
Yeah, it's a very much-needed program, and John, what I always like to do is when talking about, you know, school choice, I always look at it from standpoint of where is the need, and when you're talking about options and things of that nature, to me, it needs to be focused from that perspective, particularly when you're talking, you know, outside of the traditional way of how we educate our children. So we know that in North Carolina, we have, you know, 1.6 million children that are educated in the traditional public school system. I'm a homegrown boy in North Carolina. I'm a product of the traditional public school system, K through 12. My daughter is in the public school system. And so we know that for the most part, families across our state look to our traditional public school system in large part to educate children. And so that's a good thing. But here's the other thing that we want to look at, and that is when we come to DPI and we're getting, you know, annual statistics and figures and stats on how our kids are doing in that system. What we've seen for quite some time, John, is that for the low-income population, where the traditional public school system is solely, in most cases, the only option for families, we're seeing a disparate number, an alarming disparate number for low-income kids' performance compared to middle-class, upper-income kids in the traditional public school system, in upwards of 30-35% achievement gap. What we're seeing in our, you know, traditional public school system, the way we have done it, is the situation of this issue of consequences that were unintended. They weren't intentional, but they're unintended. That basically the idea of attending schools and then zoning those schools and where you live, you know, everybody understands the neighborhood school model. Who wouldn't want to walk down the block and drop your kids off to school and pick them up in the evening? But what we're finding is where we have these huge pockets of poverty, challenged communities, family breakdown, if you will, which is really at a house level in the low-income communities, that the schools that they are zoned to, the traditional schools that they are zoned to, the low-income kids, whether it be safety, teachers are not the highest quality, the quality of education is not where it needs to be for low-income kids. And where you have upper middle-class families and things of that nature that may be have traditional public school as an option, because of where they live, we are seeing that the schools in which they're zoned to, they're pretty adequate. And if they're not, those families have the ability to send their child to a private school, pack up and move to a district where schools are better. But for your low-income kids, it's not so much the case. And so the Opportunity Scholarship Program, as far as I'm concerned, John, extends, and I think it underscores the importance of in our Constitution, that every child, regardless of where you live, your income, is entitled to a good, adequate education. We're not finding that in our low-income families because of the statistics that we see. 70% of low-income children failed to be proficient in our traditional public schools. And so we cannot turn a deaf ear or blind eye to that. We must take action. And I commend the leadership, bipartisan leadership, in terms of sponsors of Opportunity Scholarship Program in trying to provide additional options for families who are in desperate need of such.
And Daryl, how would the Opportunity Scholarship Program work, and how might parents determine if they are eligible for this program?
the Opportunity Scholarship Program, in order to be eligible, it's two-pronged. One, it's free and reduced lunch, so 100% free reduced lunch population. So for a family of two, parent and a child, that's about $28,000 household income a year. And, you know, if you're a family of four, a little under $44,000 a year for that household income. Again, putting the target and making sure that you identify that free and reduced lunch population. So if you meet that threshold, the other threshold is that your child has to currently be in the public school system. Again, we know that there are real problems in the traditional public school system, by and large, for many low-income families. And so the program is designed for those families that are currently in the traditional public school system where the schools that they're zoned to is not working for them, and also they have to meet the income threshold free reduced lunch. And if they qualify for those two areas, they would then be eligible for participating in the Opportunity Scholarship Program.
And that scholarship is $4,200 per year, if I understand it correctly, that would go toward the tuition of a public school student or a current public school student that then would utilize those resources in order to go to a private school, Christian school, or a school of the parent's choice.
Absolutely. And so you're right. So if you qualify up to $4,200, there are some private schools, John, believe it or not, that are doing a phenomenal job of not only educating kids, getting them a high school diploma, but going on to college. And their tuitions are $3,500 or less, believe it or not. That's about $9,000 in a traditional public school system. So you can make a very strong case of cost savings perspective, but also in terms of providing these families with strong option that's going to, you know, really be there in a real way for these children. So up to $4,200 is what a family that qualifies on those two benchmarks will be able to utilize in attending a non-public school. So when you look at the $4,200 figure, again, you may be aghast, but then when you look at the real picture of private school in North Carolina, and we're talking about a few hundred dollars away, that gives a lot of families something to work with, and that's what we're hearing. I mean, from across the state, you know, they just want an opportunity. They're not asking for a handout or take care of me mentality. They just want a good, viable option when they need one, so that they can make the difference. So when you look at when you look at the fact that we're targeting a population that is most need, that you're going to really see people mobilize around that and be very appreciative about exercising this option. Again, where the need is it needs to be met.
Darrell, as I mentioned at the start of the program, the North Carolina Association of Educators and the North Carolina Justice Center filed a lawsuit in December of 2013 challenging the constitutionality of the Opportunity Scholarship Program. Tell us about the lawsuit and generally what arguments are these groups making in opposition to the Opportunity Scholarship Program.
Well, they're making argument that all education of students should be through our public schools. Essentially, there's this exclusively. So any educational component, you know, for children should solely be under the public schools premise. That any additional option made available, the Opportunity Scholarship by way of a private school, that in and of itself is unconstitutional. Now, again, you know, one of the things in terms of looking at policies and programs that have been in existence for some time, you know, there's not the first time a lawsuit has been filed in many of the states, including Milwaukee, where suits were filed. A majority of those suits have been dismissed, and the program has been constitutional. In fact, North Carolina has probably one of the strongest constitutions that supports this idea of parental school choice in our nation. And so what we know is that the United States Supreme Court has already ruled on this case. And one key point is when you look at the arguments made by NCAA and others, they keep saying, you know, the state, you know, funding to the private schools, state funding to the private schools. What the Zelman Harris case in the Supreme Court said basically, that just because a parent ultimately chooses a private school, it's not a situation where the state is dictating that parent goes to that private school, because the power relies on the parent. And so when you look at the Opportunity Scholarship Program, it is not a situation where the state is directly giving money to a private school directing parents. No, it is actually the citizen. It is actually the parent who's saying, I meet the economic threshold, and B, I would like to take advantage of an opportunity of sending my child to a non-public school. And because of that parent decision, the money then follows the child. We believe that's going to hold up here in North Carolina, and we've seen that play out in other states. And so the other thing, John, this idea of exclusivity, that you can only educate our kids in the public school system. That's not the case. We, you know, we support our universities and colleges, and so it's rampant there that private colleges, universities participate, and we fund and support students there. But also, there's a court case here here recently, 2007, that basically said, hey, in addition to, you know, state supporting our traditional public schools, it doesn't forbid the state to provide other alternatives. And so when you look at the lawsuit, you would think that the Opportunity Scholarship is coming from, you know, public education budget. It is not. The Opportunity Scholarship Program was created out of the general fund, the same general fund, John, that we fund highways, buildings, construction, anything else. And so the legislature has plenary control over how monies are dispensed and worked out of the general fund. Now, I will tell you, if this was a situation where the funds, the Opportunity Scholarship Program, was funded out of the public school funds, if you will, then there could be some legitimate case. But we think, again, kudos to the sponsors of the bill, the conformers of the bill. We think it's a great policy, the way they put it up, to where it's going to have great impact for families that are in much need. And also, they did a good job of making sure that, for the most part, having good legal and constitutional structures interwoven in this Opportunity Scholarship Program. And I also think, lastly, that the attempt to file suit was just nothing more than to distract and delay implementation of the program. So I'm hopeful that, you know, whenever this gets to the judge, we'll quickly dismiss and we'll quickly get about the business of implementing this program, because that'll be starting here February 1st of 2014.
Well, thank you for that explanation. That's very helpful. Well, Darrell, how can parents in North Carolina that want to utilize or find if they're eligible for participation in the Opportunity Scholarship Program, how can they find out about more about the program and what the eligibility standards are and how it would work if they are able to take advantage of it?
John, I'm glad you asked that question. And simply put, they could visit schoolchoicenc.org. That's schoolchoicenc.org. They should go to that website. And there, John, they will be asked a few questions, and these questions are tailored to the Opportunity Scholarship Program. And it's a really cool thing, because in answering their questions, actually families will get a sense of if they pre-qualify or not. So we can't qualify, but they'll get a sense of, hey, you know, we think you pre-qualify. So that's important. And then we have a toll-free number, John, I would like to offer here. And that number is 1-855-752-4642. If they can visit the schoolchoicenc.org, that will get them in the pipeline so that come February 1st, 2014, they can be in front of line taking full advantage of this opportunity.
Excellent. Well, thank you for sharing that. And let me repeat that website one more time for our listeners. SchoolChoiceNC, as in North Carolina.org. Again, SchoolChoiceNC.org. Now, Darrell, we're nearly out of time for this week. Where can our listeners go to learn more about Parents for Educational Freedom in North Carolina and the great work that you all are doing?
John, thanks so much for the wonderful opportunity again. But, yeah, they can visit our site here. It's PEFNC.org. That's Parents. P is for Parents. E is for Education. F is in Freedom. NC, it's in NorthCarolina.org. There they'll learn the latest of what's going on, and so they can visit there and learn what's moving on and what's going on here in the permanent school choice era.
Excellent. Well, Darrell, let me repeat that website as well. That's www.pefnc.org. Again, www.pefnc.org. Well, Darrell Allison, thank you so much for taking time out of what we know is a very busy schedule to join us on Family Policy Matters and for your great work at Parents for Educational Freedom in North Carolina.
John, thank you. It was an absolute pleasure.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.